Church, isn't it? Huh? You wouldn't rather be in the hospital, would you? Wouldn't rather be in jail, would you? All right, so let this be at least one step above those. But really, really, what should it be? It should be the highlight of your week, the highlight of your day, to get to come, to get to fellowship around the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you come to receive from Him. Is that right? But then we understand that we know you're a receiver if you're also a responder.
Right.
Amen. If when I eat some, my wife made apple crostata for me last night. I got home and I smelled something in the oven. Oh, Jesus. And her pie crust, man, she doesn't do it often because she don't want no fat husband. But she doesn't do it often. But when she does, I'm telling you, what was that commercial? You got the gifts, you've got the gifts. Remember that? Oh, it was years ago. Anyhow, I respond when I eat that stuff. I'm like, how many of you respond when you eat something good? Well, you know, if you hear the good word of God, I said, you hear the good word of God that delivers you out of darkness, brings you into a place of understanding and help. Oh man, you respond to that, don't you? I mean, something on the inside of you wants to say, oh, amen, yeah, glory to God, hallelujah. So it's okay to be a responder today. I haven't been here in about maybe a month, almost a month, but I want you to know I'm always thinking of you. And not only that, I listen to every message as soon as it gets up on the podcast. I go back and listen to it because I don't want to miss anything here. And I heard that message last week on the tithe. And my wife said during the course of that message, you know, well, I just in the middle of the night, the Lord gave that to me. And so she said while she was preaching it, if you were here, you know, she said, this is off the cuff. If that was off the cuff, I don't know if I could handle on the cuff. You know what I mean? Because that was an excellent, one of the best messages I've ever heard, just bringing revelation into what that connection is. And I like how she said, you know, we don't tithe under the law of Moses, but we do tithe under the law of honor. And it's not the law, but it's my law. It's not the law in the sense that somebody's forcing you, but it's my law. I make it my law in my life because I love the benefit, and I love to be able to honor God tangibly. So that was precious. If you weren't here last week, go back and listen to that one. And so it was really, really good. And it was life-giving. You know, people sometimes think anytime you preach on those things, you're trying to beat something into people and focusing on the you're cursed with the curse part. No, no, no. The whole idea was to get to those three words, no more lack, right? Is that what it said? Or no more need? I'm sorry. No more need. Everybody say that. No more need. So we're thankful for the word. It changes our life when we look to it. Yeah. Anybody here? You're different because of the things of God, the word of God, and the spirit of God. I had a verse rolling around in me this morning when I woke up the second time. I woke up a couple times this morning. But the last time I woke up, I had a verse rolling around in me. And I might like to share that with you today, if you're okay with that. And it's in the 14th chapter of Romans. The 14th chapter of Romans is a real interesting chapter. Really, if you read that whole chapter, which we won't take time to do, kind of speaks to some things that we find ourselves encountering a lot in the body of Christ. Because it talks about Paul. You know, Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and they were... A lot of what he wrote was trying to answer questions that these churches had and address things that the churches were dealing with, you know. How many know the body of Christ deals with stuff? And a lot of times as the body of Christ was just getting started and young, man, they'd have this doctrine come in and they'd have this thing come in. And Paul's just trying to get them out of the ditch on this side or out of the ditch on this side, right where? Into the middle of the road, because I don't know how many have discovered this, when you're in between the lanes of the road, you make a whole lot more progress than when you're stuck in the ditch. I saw somebody stuck in a ditch yesterday. Their car was out in a ditch, and the back wheels were spinning up in the air, and I'm thinking, what are you going to do when snow happens? Hello? If you can't stay in the middle of the road when the weather's good, how are you going to stay on the road when the weather's trying to pull you off? You know what I mean? And there's a lot of times that's just a picture of Christians today, you know? They want to be over here on this extreme, or they want to be over here on this extreme, and you just want them to make some progress. And you're thinking to yourself, man, when we got all the word that's available today, and you can't you can't stay on the road, what you going to do when times get tough? You know what I mean? But how many know the people at Faith Church? They're middle of the road, progress making Christians, that they go from faith to faith. They go from strength to strength. Wish I had a little more help today, you know what I mean? But they go from glory to glory, and they get some places, and they look back and they say, my life's not anything like it was 10 years ago. My life's not anything like it was 2 years ago. I'm just different. I'm changed because of the things of God. But what folk like to do is they like to get off on this thing, or they like to get off on this thing. And that's what was going on in Romans 14, and they were all fussing about, can we eat this or can we eat that? Anybody here, you ever met a Christian that their focus was, well, you shouldn't eat meat? And then I met one not too long ago. It was like, well, God created what would be the plant called that you get marijuana, the marijuana plant? The weed. God created it. It's got to be good. It's got to be good. Well, God created it before the curse, you understand. Before the curse, yeah, everything was perfect. And there was no weeds. God didn't create weeds. When Adam was put in the garden to keep the garden, there was no weeds for him to weed. That's what, when he had to dress it and keep it, it was not pull the weeds. There was no curse, so there was no weeds. And you want to take Christians sometimes by the shirt and just, you know, lovingly smack them on the head and say, come to church. Come on, come. Get in the middle of the road. Get off of there. And you might say, well, it's legal in Colorado, but it's not godly in Colorado. It's not godly. God's given you something that will do more for you than weeds. Weeds choke out things. The Spirit of God will enlarge things and bless you, and the Word of God will change you. And if you really get in the things of God, the last thing you want is some weed. The last thing you want is to drink what the other people have to drink to get through. Now, they do have to do that to get through. We know people that are much more pleasant if they've had a few. How many know what I'm talking about? And listen, if you're not saved, do what you need to do to be pleasant to be around. I'm all for it. I'll buy it. I won't go in the store and buy it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not right. But if you need me to, I'll buy it for you to. But better yet, I'll share with you what could make you pleasant to be around just all the time. And so they were, because people, well, why can't we drink? You can. Why do you want to drink that? Why? Have you ever tasted it? I did all my drinking before I was saved. I started playing in bars when I was 15 years old. I was a jazz player. They didn't care what my age was. They wanted a saxophonist. So that was me. And I drank plenty all before I was old enough to do so. Because I got saved between the time I was old enough. And I just knew, I don't know why I'm on this today, it's not what I planned to say, but I'm just going to look down the middle of the road where nobody can look and, you know, I'm not seeing nobody. Hello. But no, you don't want what the world has. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. You got anything in the world that they use to deliver themselves from the course and the flow of this world is an inferior substitute to the reality of what God has for us. Amen. And so you want to get hooked up to what He has. And people think you're weird if you get filled with God. But they have to take a Benadryl to sleep. And then they have to drink five caffeine drinks to get awake. And they just have to have something to keep them all the time on their course, because it's a rough road. So in Romans 14, I told you I'd get there eventually. They're dealing with, you know, well, can we eat this and can we eat that? And Paul's saying, listen, if you come across somebody and they have a conviction, I'm not going to read the chapter, so I'm just kind of telling you, if they have a conviction about not eating such and such, don't fuss with them about it. Let them do what they need to do. That's not the focus. That's not the issue. And if somebody believes, well, we shouldn't eat such and such, don't be fussing with them. That's not the focus. That's not the issue. Let them do what they need to do. Well, you could bring that over in today. Well, I don't believe. There's a lot of Christians that would say this. Well, I just don't believe. You all be taking that vaccine that you'll get the mark of the beast. That's fine. My daughter taught me something years ago, and I found out it's pretty scriptural, and I live by it. It's this phrase, you do you. You do you. Well, I believe you need the shot. Get two of them. Most people get two of them. Fine. Get your two. You do you. You do you. In other words, you can have an opinion what folks should do or shouldn't do, and you can have a conviction for yourself. That's fine. Stay where you can operate in faith. Stay at that place where you can go further with God. Amen. You know, especially, I don't know why, where we lived before in New York, in Buffalo, it's like everybody smoked. And I think probably half of our church would, as soon as the service over, they'd scoot out to get their smoke. That's nobody's biggest issue. But you get folk that think, well, if I don't give this up, I can't serve God. No, start serving him where you are and believe for him to take you further. And he can get you to the place where there's so much of him in you that you don't need that anymore. And sometimes the things of the world will fall off. And you don't even realize, when's the last time I had one of those? When's the last time I had a drink? I don't need that. What's that doing in my house? I don't do that anymore. You just get rid of it. You just get rid of it. But we don't focus on the sin or the issue or whatever it is. You know what I mean? But we're serious about the things of God, and we flood our life with the things of God. So I said all that to get us to verse 17. Amen. And how many know we ought to be wanting to do that which is godly? We ought to be wanting for our lives to mirror the plan of God. Amen. And we ought to be wanting. We don't just make excuses for the things that we had coming into our Christian life. We endeavor to live as new creatures in Christ. So over in Romans 14, I was thinking of this verse this morning. Hallelujah. And so I said everything I said so you understand the beginning of this verse, in verse 17, when it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking." Now you understand why that verse says what it does. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. In other words, it's not whether you eat the right thing or drink the right thing. It's not what you take in. But look at this. The kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness. Say righteousness if you would. And what? And peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Paul's talking again in this whole chapter. You know, they're saying, you know, one person says you shouldn't eat this. That's fine. One person says you should eat this, that's fine. Whatever. But the kingdom of God. So he's contrasting what they're doing to the kingdom of God. What they're doing is trying to function as believers in the kingdom of this world. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about how the believers were walking according to the course of this world. You understand that in this world, there is constant movement. We could say there's a flow. Right? There's a flow. There's constant movement. There's things that are always moving, right? And if you don't know the things of God, and maybe you could look back in your life to a time when that was the case, and you realize that you're just being really carried along by the flow of this world, right? For example, because if you let just what's on television define what we'd call your morals or your convictions about what's right and what's wrong. And you understand, in television, a lot of times they're trying to get a message across in 22 minutes, yeah. Or 60 minutes, or in a movie, 2 hours, Or if it's James Bond, I hear it's 3 hours. I mean, my wife loves Brother Bond. But 3 hours, come on. I don't know. We hadn't gotten up to go yet. You know what I mean? She loved Brother Bond. Because we're shaken, not stirred, believers. We're not just stirred, we're shaken. If you don't know James Bond, you wouldn't know what that means. So anyhow, if you listen to the movies, if you listen to just TV, they'll tell you that the end of the first date, you ought to be in bed already. Well, because they don't have time to develop it. They don't have time to show you 15 dates. They can only show you the first date. And if it was a good date, you end up in bed. How many know that's the course of this world? And if you just follow the course of this world, you'll end up just going the world's direction. But bless God, I want you to know, there's something called the kingdom of God. And just like that world system is constant movement, a constant flow that will just carry you and have you going their direction, doing their things, drinking their drink, sleeping with whoever. You know what I mean? Just everything that happens in the world, you have to lie to conduct business. Come on. In the world, they think you have to conduct business and to get ahead in business, you got to lie, 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 lie. But there's something called the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, friends, is also a flow. There's constant movement, and you can get into the kingdom of God to the degree that it's carrying you above the kingdom of this world. I love that it says kingdom because a kingdom is the word itself defines itself. It's the dominion of a king. It's the realm or a system of a sphere of rule for a king. And every kingdom is governed by what? Laws. Law says every kingdom is governed by laws. Our world is governed by laws. And it, for example, when you got your driver's license, you learned you didn't just go and say, "Give me my license." What did you have to do? You had to take a written test, and that test is to make sure that you know how to flow with traffic. They didn't just give you a license and send you out there to go sideways to traffic, huh? And block it all up. Why? Because it's a flow. The laws create the flow. The laws create the flow. And if you'll go with that movement, man, you can drive. And I know you wish there was less people on the road, and I get you with that. But you can get on what they call the highway, the interstate. And, man, you can go at a pretty good pace. And you can get from here to Thornton, or you can get from here to Boulder. Really, in what? Just about an hour, maybe less than an hour. On a day like today, well, you couldn't do that before they had those laws, right? Because they had the laws, they could build the roads, they could let you go faster. And so even in the kingdom of the world, there's laws. And if you'll get in the flow with those laws, you'll get somewhere. But in the kingdom of God, there's also laws. There's things that make it work. There's things that allow progress to be made. Hope this isn't too boring for you today, but you can make progress in the kingdom of God. If you go God's way, he'll take your life to a different place, put you in a better spot than you were before, and he'll do it for anybody. And those green cards that we read, if he's done it for one person, he'll do it for anybody that'll look to him. That's why we read those, and it's not to make anybody else feel bad, but it's just to say, hey, look, here's what God will do.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And so in the kingdom of God, it's not what you eat. It's not what you drink. It's not are you mask or no mask. It's not are you vaccine or no vaccine. It's not are you Democrat or Republican. Hello. We'll minister to anybody as long as the Democrats sit on this side. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. You meet so many people that try to bring that stuff into the kingdom and say it's about this and it's about that. No. We got to keep our focus on the things of God. And the kingdom of God, what are the laws that make things move and make things flow in the kingdom of God? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now this is good stuff here. This is good stuff. This tells you where you want to be. If you're going to be in the God flow, if you're going to be flowing in his kingdom, and you understand that his kingdom is a kingdom that's not subject to the world's economy. His kingdom is not subject to the decay that of the world. His kingdom can cause your life to ride above. Yes, it will. You should say amen. This kingdom will cause your life to ride above this world system. And when they say you can't get here from where you are in the world system, God can still get you there. When you say, well, I'll never find a husband or a wife in this church, God will get, if you're in the right place, God will get you there. God can get you there. I wish I had a friend or two. Come on now. God can get you there if you're in the flow of His kingdom. God can get you there if you're in the flow of His kingdom. I want to say it again, because there's things it looks like from where I am, I can't get to where I think I have in my heart to be. God can get you there if you're in the flow of His kingdom. Is it true? Is it true, second row? Is it true, third row? Is it true? Come on. Is it true?
Amen.
I remember your life 20 years ago. we met you about that long ago, and I'm just saying the circumstances of your life at that time, you'd say you could never get even where you are. Now, I know you're not where you ultimately feel like you ought to be, but the circumstances of your life then wouldn't have said you could even get here today. But the kingdom of God could get you there. Righteousness. Well, what's that? Well, that's a big word. That's a 7-week series type word. You know what I mean? But righteousness, certainly it includes doing right. Certainly it includes living right. But really, Paul, the author of Romans, he talked a lot about the righteousness of God. And he said in another one of his writings that Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Him, that we might be made righteous in Him. And the Bible, and in that same actual chapter, I'm quoting from 2 Corinthians 5, it says, if any man is in Him, in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. So when we say the kingdom of God is righteousness, what that includes is the knowledge of who you are, what you have, and what you can do as a new creation in Christ. Now, that knowledge, what you have, who you are, what you can do as a new creature in Christ, that's not a one sermon thing. That's a lifetime of seeing and understanding. But you understand, the more you see who you are, who He's made you, what you can do in Him, the more you're in the flow of His kingdom. And the more you can move from that place of impossibility over to the place that you didn't even think, that really, you didn't even let yourself dream. God has done this for us. You know, you understand my goal in life at one time, before I knew Christ, my goal was to play saxophone in dark, smoke-filled, tiny jazz club rooms. What a goal. I say smoke-filled because back in that day, you could just smoke anywhere, you know. And everybody did. And so, you know, that was my goal. Be before, you know, a few people playing my thing. And, I mean, I guess there's worse goals. And God allowed me to have a fun career doing that, really. But oh my Lord, if I had stayed there, there's so much more He had for me. There's people He had for me to touch. There's people He has for me to reach. And it's people He's got for you to reach. And the more I found out who He made me and what I have and what I can do in Him, the more I'm able to walk in my righteousness and the more I'm in the flow of His kingdom. Glory to God, the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God. So righteousness. And then this second thing it talks about is peace. Yes. Peace. Now, you understand, I said the smallest little bit about righteousness. Like I said, you could minister on that for 7-8 weeks. I have before. But peace. The flow of God's kingdom is peace. 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 Now, in the world, peace is the absence of war. Like, are we at war or are we at peace? And they think, as long as we're not losing soldiers on the battlefield, that we're at peace. You have no idea. Paul wrote in Philippians 4 about the peace of God. He said, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer. You remember this verse, Philippians 4, 6? Why don't you pop up Philippians 4, verse 6? Be anxious for what? The answer is nothing. Be anxious for, we'll read it this way. Do not be anxious about anything. How many things? Anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Yeah, but they don't know if this is going to happen. And they said they can't tell if this is going to happen. And what's your response supposed to be? No anxiety. How can you tell if you're anxious about it? If you're always thinking about it. You're always on my mind. There's some older folk that will that remember those songs. You remember that old song? Huh? The young ones are like, I never heard that. No, when stuff is always on your mind, you're being anxious about it. Brother Hagin used to say, if you can't say amen, say oh me. You don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the next verse says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Friends, if you want to be in the flow of God's kingdom, and if you want to move at the speed of the Spirit instead of at the slow pace where things move forward, you can understand this, I think. Even in our country, you know, everybody talks the same talk when they're trying to get elected. You know, officials, they all talk the same thought. We need to come together. We need to do this. And we need to make this kind of progress. And we need to build a strong economy. And it's like, where is it? Where is all the, you know what I mean? I'm not being political. Hello. But point is, it's like it just goes, the pendulum just swings this direction and this direction. And we're fighting this and we're fighting that. And a whole lot doesn't ever seem to change. Hello. Come on, somebody. But in the kingdom of God. If you walk in God's peace, the peace of God is His tangible presence on the inside of you. And you can walk in that to the degree that you are untroubled and undisturbed by anything that happens. And you'll even think to yourself, something must be wrong with me. I must be irresponsible because I got this going on and I don't care. No, it's not that you don't. Yes, you don't care because you're anxious for nothing. It's not that you're being irresponsible. It's just you found the right drug. You found the right drug. You found what will, because that's why people have to go home and drink, because I don't want to be thinking about it and I need something to help me not think. But the peace of God will guard your mind. And the longer I go, I'm realizing, man, there's levels of peace that I can walk in. And for years now, I have had a policy of that it is against the law to disturb my peace. You know, disturbing the peace, you get a citation, you get a ticket for disturbing the peace. You get more than a ticket if you try to disturb my peace. You get kicked out of my presence. Huh? I have gotten to the point where I do not let anything disturb my peace. Well, so-and-so says this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We will bless His holy name and we don't care. They can talk whatever talk they want to spew out of their mouth, but I am staying in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And that's actually how I live. Well, this just happened, and it's going to cost such and such. Glory, 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 glory. I have a supply. for every need. And you can live in that realm of I don't care. You might say that's fantasy. No, that's my reality. It's your fantasy. But it can become your reality because the peace of God belongs to you. The more of His peace you'll walk in, the more you refuse to live in anxiety. You are in the flow of His kingdom. And what happens? What happens? These are the laws. Go back to Romans 14, 17. These things, righteousness, peace, joy, they are the laws that govern God's kingdom. They are how to go on God's highway. Yes. Amen. You ought to thank me today for preaching this. Hallelujah. Righteousness, peace, peace, peace. No disturbing the peace. Not in my life. Ain't no person gonna do it. Ain't no dog gonna do it. We had to divorce our dogs. We had two dogs, and some of you who knew them, you remember. We just have Bugsy here, but we used to have Bentley too. And really, Bentley was the senior dog, and he really had the right to stay. But we shipped him to our kids out in California. They love him out there. Bentley is doing good. So but we had to divorce them because they were disturbing our peace, like violently fighting each other. And you got blood all over the place, and you're like, you have one person on each dog trying to pull them apart. No, I ain't gonna live like that. Ain't gonna live like that. Righteousness, peace. And what about this last one? Joy, but not just joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit, or we could say it this way, the spiritual flow of joy. The spiritual flow of joy. Joy is not happiness. But joy will make you happy. My point is, you don't have to be happy to practice to walk in joy. Or could I say it this way? You don't have to feel happy to walk in joy. Over in James chapter 1, the second verse, it says, count it all joy. You still work in bookkeeping? Yeah, bookkeeping. Do you do any counting? Do you have special feelings every time you count? Or can you just count? You just count. You don't have to feel the numbers. You got to count the numbers. It said, count it all joy. Anybody here, now, if you're older than me, this wouldn't be you because I was the first generation. I think I was 3 years old when Sesame Street came out, and so I was their pilot audience. I was their target audience. But anybody here watch Sesame Street? Maybe with your kids? How many remember the count? You don't remember the count? The count, he didn't have to feel it. He just always would count. Whatever it was, he counted. He was an accountant. He was the count. And so if we count it all joy, it didn't say feel it all joy. It just said count it all joy when you encounter difficult circumstances. And so God's not asking for feelings. He's asking for your expressions of joy. You don't have to feel happy, but you have to rejoice. We were singing about it this morning, two of the songs. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. Well, what's that mean? How do you count it all joy? You just start rejoicing. And it says to do it in the face of difficulties. Why? Because that puts you in the flow of the kingdom of God and sends you on top of it. Lets you bypass it. God has express lanes to get you anywhere. And so you might not feel it, but you just start expressing joy. Well, how do you express joy? This isn't difficult. I always ask this when I preach places, and they all look at me like, I don't know. Well, it's football season. Are we playing today? We sure need to turn it around quick if we're going to do anything, right? I haven't seen a game yet. But what happens when they're – I'll tell you what happens in my house, because thank God I married a sports lover. And so that's just something we'll do together, just to relax. We never get through a whole one, but we'll come in. We'll watch baseball the last week of the season. That's like next week, right? We'll watch the World Series. We'll watch the last game of the NBA Finals. Just one game for the year. That's it. And but when something good happens, if it's our team, we'll start expressing joy. Well, what's that look like? Hey! And if it's me, if it's who's our running back now? That's that the new one, Williams. They call him Pookie. That's his name, Pookie Williams. And they go, "Go Pookie, go Pookie, go!" That's an expression. I'm expressing joy, and then sometimes we'll laugh. Hey, ha ha ha!
Yeah,
because we got the other team. You know how to rejoice. You laugh. You say, "Go, Pookie." You cheer. You laugh. Sometimes I'll get up. Once we were watching a hockey game in Buffalo, we had the youth in our church, and I remember your son, Tyler. I don't know how old he was, maybe 14, 15 years old, something like that. We're watching. We were in the playoffs. The Buffalo Sabres. Hockey was so big up there, and we had them all the youth come over, and something good happened. And I found myself, me and Tyler were in each other's arms. What was that? We were rejoicing. We were rejoicing. See, the Bible says rejoice with the wife of your youth. That doesn't mean just go ha, ha, ha. Just doesn't mean laugh. You get in each other's arms. Come on now. Come on, husbands and wives. By faith, come on. You in each other's arms. You'll get her back. Hallelujah. In each other's arms. Huh?
Yes.
Y'all ever hug or anything? I'm not asking. I don't want to. Rejoice. So just expressions of joy. And you can just laugh in the face of difficulty without feeling like it. You feel like crying. You feel like saying something. But instead you go, ha, ha, ha. What did you just do? Three wonderful ha-has. Three wonderful, that's with the count on Sesame Street. That's what he say. Three wonderful this or that. And five wonderful, you just counted. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. 10 wonderful ha's.
Yes.
Just have as much sense as the count. Just do what the count would do. And you'll be in the spiritual flow of joy that's not based on feelings. But what that does, what that peace, that righteousness, that joy does, is it allows God's Spirit to freely flow in your life. Remember, friends, I say it all the time, God doesn't just want you living for Him. He wants to live through you. And that's how He gets His blessings to you, through you. He needs to have a flow on the inside of you in order to put you places. And righteousness and peace and the spiritual flow of joy. Paul said it's not about these natural things. It's not about, if I can go here, it's not about what's going on in the Middle East or Israel, you know, because there's people that's kind of like their hobby. Christians, that's a Christian hobby, what's happening in Israel. But you can get so enthralled with your hobby that you forget this. That you can forget this. We love Israel. Israel is important. Okay, we understand that. But this. Now I want to look at the next verse because you've heard this quoted. If you're old enough and you've been in the things of God long enough, you heard the song. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. You remember that? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? You all don't know that song. Where were you in the 90s? Anyhow, we quote that verse, righteousness, peace, and joy. But what about this? Whoever thus serves Christ, in other words, whoever serves Christ in this way, in what way? Walking in your righteousness, walking in the peace of God, participating in the spiritual flow of joy. Whoever does that is acceptable to God. Implying that whoever doesn't do those things. Come on. Implying. I'm not saying it says it, but it implies it. Whoever doesn't do those things is unacceptable. Why would that be unacceptable? Because God wants you in His kingdom so He can put your life in the place He wants it. And it's not acceptable to Him for you to stay still. It's not acceptable for Him for you to make no progress. It's not acceptable, friends, for your life to be the same today as it was 20 years ago. That's unacceptable. But it's acceptable if you walk in righteousness. and peace and the spiritual flow of joy that disregards feelings, disregards circumstances, and rejoices anyway, because that's like the electrical current that God can get his things to you in. Now, all I did this morning was preach to you the word. I broke down the word. I just pounded into you a little bit the word, and folk will say, well, that's just such fantasy. That's just the word. Just argue with the word. I've proven it. I've lived it. And I'm going to keep on living it. I'm going to continue to find out more of who I am, what I have, what I can do as a new creature in Christ. I'm going to walk in the light of who I am. Righteousness. I'm going to keep walking in the peace. I'm telling you, I'm going to get to where the only time I think is when I say we think.
Yeah. Amen. Right, right.
And the rest of the time, we're just on peace mode. I tell you, I was with somebody who told me what they need to do to get to sleep, what they need to do to get to wake up. And I'm thinking, I'll go to bed singing on the inside of me. And I'll wake up with the same song playing on the inside of me. And wake up with scriptures, boom, right here, like this morning, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of, that's the flow of God. That's the flow of God. How many here, you want to be in that flow? Yeah, yes you do. Well, just, this verse summarizes the whole thing into three things. Walk, learn who you are. I know a good church that can help you. I know a good church that can help you find out who you are in Christ. You're amazing in Him. You are amazing in Him. And then walk in His peace and do not allow yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Those things, the frustration, agitation, that's of the flesh. That's of the flesh. Ultimately of the enemy, but it's of the flesh to keep you out of that flow. Don't allow it. Get to where you disallow strife. You've got to disallow strife. Strife will kill things. And then you walk and participate in the spiritual flow of joy to where all the time, ha, 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 ha. Will you have a song all the time? Amen. And it doesn't have to start from a place of feelings, but it'll end up to where this feels good. Give me another shot of it. I like it. Hallelujah. Did you receive something? You feel like you were fed this morning from the word a little bit? How about we stand up and just thank God for his word? Father, we're grateful. Thank you for telling us how to work with you. Thank you for instructing us from your word. We say we'll be doers of the word and not hearers only. Say it with me, everybody. I'm a doer. I'm a doer. I'm a doer of the word. And I'm blessed because of it. Thank you, Lord, that I walk in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. And I have your best. And I'm blessed. Amen. Amen. Been so good to be with you. Anything else, doll? We'll be seeing you on Tuesday and then here next Sunday. Bye-bye.